Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, this Steve is the ordinary Steve because he's only sired five children. Now, one is in heaven. That was a miscarriage. And sired five children, one in heaven, four here on earth, praise God. The other Steve in the studio is not an ordinary man because he sired 10 children. Plus the other two boys.
Here you go again.
Plus the other two boys that they,
the seat isn't even warm.
That they adopted from Ethiopia. The boys, Antonik and Ephraim, from Ethiopia.
Not really any of your business,
right?
But yeah,
which is awesome. Praise the Lord.
I have a question. Can I milk?
I didn't.
Hold on.
Tell you could ask a question. Go ahead.
These sacred cows, can they be milked?
They can be milked, but they do not fart. So
they don't fart.
So they're fine.
So they're,
when it comes to the Green New
so
Deal.
So it'd be raw milk from the no sacred cows.
Right, raw milk from no sacred cows, but no methane. So they're methane. They're not methane producing cows.
That's great.
I guess apparently would make them.
I haven't been here in like
sacred. I guess I don't know.
Like last year. I mean, you can't even invite me up here
anymore. It's like only February 22nd.
You come up to the house and eat our food.
Eat your food
and do other things.
The greatest enchiladas on the planet, by the way,
and make wonderful recordings.
Yes,
I do.
I'm all about some.
This thing
family.
Behind you doesn't look like you at all.
It doesn't.
I mean, who is that? Does Gina?
Well, it's kind of this weird, distorted.
Does Gina
Steve.
Know that you don't look like that? Does she care you don't look like that?
You'd have to ask her. Maybe I am the sacred cow. I don't know.
Is Catherine on? She's always on.
I don't know if she's on. So this is Steve Lewis, by the way, in case you don't remember Steve, because he hasn't been on in a while. But Steve and I used to do a lot of money shows and financial shows.
Yeah, he got kicked off.
LACapitalAdvisors.com is his website.
And I didn't even do unplanned. I got kicked off.
Right, you didn't. And so that's, you got bigger fish to fry. You got 12 kids. I mean,
yeah, and three are out now.
How's that feel?
They're gone.
How's that feel?
It's amazing.
Well, they're just gone.
People still go crazy when you say nine, but just when one leaves.
Makes a big difference, I
think. Yeah, sure it does.
Yeah. Well, we only have one that's left the roost, Hayden down in Florida. But that was, it's kind of like,
It is
different. And then Amelia's now at school, at college. I'm like, And I go, hey, this is
There's less dishes in the sink.
Yes, I noticed that.
There's less excuses why I didn't clean it.
Right.
I mean,
there's
a lot of
less
things.
Less laundry, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A little quieter, a little more peace in the house. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Whereas our buddy David Fisher is Mr. Precious Metals and likes to follow things on the federal level and international level. Steve is I love this because one of the things about Steve Lewis, and you have to learn these things when you're dealing with your investment and investment advisors and stockbrokers, is a little word called fiduciary. That's a big deal in the world of who handles your money. Because why, Mr. Steve Lewis of LA Capital Advisors? Why is the word fiduciary important?
Well, the definition is that CPAs fall in that category. People with law degrees and professions and legal carry that as well. They are supposed to act in your best interest.
Right.
I mean, that's
a novel idea.
I know some in my field that
don't.
It's a mess.
So because there's stockbrokers, there's financial advisors. So who is who? Like who's on first, who's on second?
An investment advisor, if you look at what's on their business card, will dictate what they can and can't do.
Yeah. So this
say
is their
and
licensing.
Not say. Sure.
We're talking about. Okay.
Now, I can carry a brokerage license. I can carry an advisory, which I do, but I can play both roles.
Yeah.
And it's called a hybrid designation. And you're supposed to, and it's, by the way, that registration is growing like leaps and bounds because it's easy money. And it's, I've said this before, is that many people feel, at least in this industry, it's probably trickles in medical industry and so forth. If it's lawful, it must be ethical. And
right. People like go, abortion.
Yeah. People go back and forth in my line of work, switching hats within the same client and not telling them that they're being double hit or double billed. And there's two different regulators at that point. There's a regulator that represents the advisory side, a regulator represents the brokerage side, and they both don't cross.
Right. They're kind of like the FBI and the CIA before 9/11.
Well,
they weren't communicating.
Well, before McCabe got fired.
Yeah, well, that too.
It was two different things. But so they're different roles. It doesn't mean that they're any better. At the end of the day, it's you know, results. It's a relationship. Do you feel it's transparent? I mean, nothing wrong with a brokerage relationship, although they don't manage money. Now, that's not their job, and it states so. They're just going to buy and hold it and get you back on a schedule to where they can flip something, get paid again. Their job is to make money for the broker-dealer.
Right. And if you're a fiduciary, your number one responsibility is to your client.
Well, the audits are different. When you go through an audit with from a brokerage background versus an advisory, it's a completely different audit.
Yeah.
The security side, the investment side, they're going to go through the investments. They're going to look at the portfolio blend. They're going to look at how much are you trading.
But if somebody's not a fiduciary.
How are you
fiduciary?
Justifying your fee? You
right.
got to justify
all
that.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but if you're not a fiduciary, you're supposed to do things that are reasonable for your client.
Suitable. Two different words.
Yeah, so we're playing with all kinds of language there. But if you're a fiduciary, number one concern, number one responsibility is to the best interest of your client, and that's black and white.
It's only limited to securities.
Yeah.
Only investments. So there's a lot of investment advisors will go to the brokerage side, change hats on the same client, and do things that are completely unethical.
Yeah.
They may go after an insurance-based product. They don't have to be a fiduciary on it.
Yeah, because they're kind of working how they make money.
Yes. It's their business model, and some I know are making millions a year doing this.
Yeah.
It's just a different opinion that I have.
So let the buyer beware. You and I share this opinion. Let the buyer beware, and if you have somebody that's working with you on your investments.
Just ask the questions.
Ask the questions.
That's it. I mean.
Super important.
Yeah.
All right. So I always like to, when you're here, I always like to get that on the table and talk about it because it's super, super important. I didn't understand that before. And once I did, I'm like, well, why would I talk to somebody that's in this camp?
But, you know, I know I have friends on both sides.
Yeah, I know.
And they're doing good things within that
world. Yeah,
world.
Being a very nice guy. I'm not under the same restrictions that you are, so I'm just going to speak my opinion in an unadulterated fashion.
Did you get that Forbes article?
And if somebody is a fiduciary, I'm going to trust them.
Did you get that Forbes article?
No. Did you send it to me?
Did you never read it?
What Forbes article?
I emailed it to everybody.
Now, okay, so just let me put this on the table. Steve and I are
Is that a commercial?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
We're longtime friends.
We need to talk.
Obviously.
You didn't prepare for this show, did you?
That's your job. You're the guest. You're the, air quotes, professional, which he is, and he helps the Noble family, by the way. So full disclosure, he's also my friend, my brother in Christ. He married way up just like I did. He has 12 kids. I only have 4. We'll be right back. Steve Noble Show with Steve number two in here today, Steve Lewis, LACapitalAdvisors.com. And every once in a while, Steve-O's in here and we talk about the stock market, specifically in that investment world. A good friend of mine, a brother in Christ, and he helps the Noble family as well. If I didn't know him that well, then he wouldn't be in here, right? Because I kind of protect the show, because I protect the people listening to the show. But I don't have to protect them from you. I just share you with them because I'm all about the love, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. All right. So anyway, good to have you in here. Nice seeing you. Just play along. You can handle this. Steve's much more self-controlled.
I'm married to Thea. I can handle it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Your wife, Thea.
25 years this year.
Wow.
You believe that?
Yes.
Well, you got me. How many years?
Yeah. You.
How many years were you?
26. It'll be 27 in October.
Wow.
So, yeah, longer than you guys. And you look like you've been married to Thea for 25 years.
Oh.
Because.
she's going to kill you.
She's going to kill you.
She's a riot,
though. Well, the problem you have, the challenge you have, is that Thea and I are very similar. And that makes your job challenging, and it makes my wife's job challenging. Because you guys are like the calm, nice people. You're the brakes in the car, and Thea and myself are the gas. So
first,
in more ways than one.
When we first formally met.
All right, let's hurry.
When we were broadcasting in Wake Forest Road.
Yes.
I knew. I remember I told you on the show.
Right.
Is that, you know, you and Theo would be dangerous.
Yes, you were nervous to have us all together at the same time, and you were right. So anyway, let's set that aside. Let's talk about the stock market.
No, Pastor Jones from Hilltop Baptist would like to have coffee with
here
you.
In Raleigh.
And he might be listening, so
okay.
I'm letting him. I'm setting it up. So
yeah, that's fine.
If I need to be in there.
I'll get him straightened up away. I'll take care of him. I'll hook him up. So anyway, 2019, very different than 2018.
Yes, 18 was, we need to cover 18. A lot of us probably don't want to discuss it. But
no, it's brutal.
Well, listen, 18, I think on our record, we made no less than 100 calls to our clients, not counting all the emails. And what made it very difficult is, well, let's discuss what an algorithm is. An algorithm is a data feeder. And we create our own algorithms as to what we want to be telling us.
Yeah, what you're paying attention
algorithms
to.
Algorithms are not, they're not a person. They do not know what the GDP is. They don't keep track of the unemployment rate at 3.77 at the time. They don't know what the Federal Reserve is doing.
Watching the news. They're not on
They don't read
media.
Trump's tweets.
Right.
Or do they listen to CNN? They don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And if you and I came down from planet Podunk, from some solar system, but we're investing in the market and we saw what the market was doing, we think, man, this is awful.
Yeah.
But the fundamentals were so strong. And a lot of people, believe it or not, created some conspiracy theories, wanted
sure.
to make it look like that Trump is just, you know, creating a, you know, a volatile situation because there's no stability in his administration. And I had a lot of people on the phone, you know, making sure we were on the same page. Are you seeing what we're seeing, feeling what we're feeling? So, but December was horrible. So fortunately
yes.
for us, we were in a predominantly 50 to 60% cash position by December.
Yeah, very defensive.
But from a linear loss perspective, the market lost over 41%.
Brutal.
Now, as I stipulated in the Forbes article, I'll give it to you. You may put on your site, whatever you want to do, is that money doesn't move. You know, don't rely on yahoofinance.com and state, you know, and look at what January 2nd's 2018's value of the S&P was and take the last part and subtract and divide it by the lower and get a number. That looks a lot better than
yeah,
it really
right,
did.
Right.
But if you lose, you know, 20%, you need about almost 25% return to get the money back. Mm. And the graphs don't work that way. They don't show that stuff. And neither will prospectuses with nice pretty charts. They can say anything they want to make that chart look pretty. They're trying to sell you a mutual fund or something, but as long as it's disclosed in the fine print, which nobody reads.
Nobody reads that, of course.
So that being the case, all the sectors but one were down at the end of last year. Energy beat everybody,
wow,
which is rare. This year—
But America's a net energy exporter now. First time in probably almost our history.
First time. The private producers of oil are allowed to move
yeah.
when the previous administration said no. And all they allowed was federal, you know, land to do it.
Right,
now they're
all
private lands taking
yeah.
over. But we have every sector positive now for the year, not for the month, but for the year. And what we really like to see is the consumer discretionary sector because it's where people feel comfortable spending money. And we're seeing appliances are taking off, like Whirlpool, right? WHR is a stock. We like auto parts and the retail and apparel. Those four are just really screaming right now. And
any rhyme or reason behind that?
Well, you have home building now back. The lending rates have fallen despite the Federal Reserve raising rates. You have the 30-year running about 3.6 percent. Or that's a 15-year, and
yeah.
the 30-year is about 4% right now, 4.4 in that range. And then when they build these tract homes, unfortunately, they're very small, really. They're close together.
Yeah.
They fill them with appliances, and Whirlpool is the least expensive, probably not the best quality appliances that they buy, and that helps them a lot.
Sure.
That goes to their bottom line. So again, we're seeing some very similar things we saw in 17. Software is winning technology is beating everybody right now, and then we have industrials, which is really nice to see. You know, Boeing and Raytheon again taking off in the Dow. It's nice to see those things. And IBM, again, paying great dividend, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
IBM's doing well. So, China is doing well. Canada,
what do you make of the fact that China's pumped about $50 trillion into their own And all the numbers we get on China are just China. China's supplying those. So they're all bogus.
Well, they've been forced to. I mean, it's true. The tariffs have a lot to do with what Trump – you know, we knew that there were tariff imbalances, but not by a tune of 22%.
Right.
You know, we knew that that one thing that Trump has done, he's brought things to the surface. Mm-hmm. We knew about the NATO countries not paying their fair share, a treaty they signed in the 40s.
Right.
A treaty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Which, how do you enforce a treaty if they don't want it?
Yeah,
there
don't.
Is no policeman.
You don't. You don't bother.
But it was us, UK, and Greece.
Yeah.
Well, Greece, how many devaluations and bankruptcies did they file? And they're the ones that are paying 2% of their GDP.
Yeah.
I think we were just almost 4% GDP.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was paying
so
their fair
Trump
share,
made the point.
Democrat phrase.
If you don't pay, we're gone.
Right.
And now they're all
yeah,
paying.
He's playing hardball.
And I think it's great.
It's one of the things I really like about this president.
Sure. So – here we are now in this year. We came out of 18 the way it was, and we saw a movement in the right direction, at least from an algorithm style, the last 4 days of December. Now, all the money managers, and I'm on these talks and blogs and everything else, what they're concerned with going into middle of January is, hey, are we going to be able to beat the benchmark?
Yeah.
You know, and they're still struggling with that a little bit.
Well, listen, I'm looking at it right now. On January 2nd, we were at 23,265 in mm-hmm. the Dow, and today we're at 26,020.
Right.
So a significant increase from January 1. But, and I want to talk to you about this when we come back in the next segment, there is regular talk and increasing talk and increasingly strident talk about this party's going to end. We're going to hit another 2008 type correction. It's either going to be late in 2019 or it's going to be 2020. And most of the things that I'm hearing is it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what we can expect, what we're looking for here in 2019. And how do we be defensive? How do we take advantage of the situation as best as we can while not hanging ourselves out to dry if, in fact, this major correction is going to happen? Talking to Steve Lewis, my good buddy, LACapitalAdvisors.com, LACapitalAdvisors.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with my friend Steve Lewis, LACapitalAdvisors.com, LACapitalAdvisors.com. Now, he's here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, but that doesn't matter anymore because of technology and phones and email and all that kind of good stuff. So wherever you're listening, if you want to talk to somebody that's really, really smart and trustworthy, a brother in Christ, and we'll give you the straight skinny.
Now in Naperville, Illinois, in Charlotte.
Wow, yeah. So you're doing a little travel.
Yeah.
And Steve helps the Noble family. He helps my older sister. He's a dear friend in the Lord and a dear friend, period. So it's great to have you in here. Thanks for coming in and sharing your expertise with us. So the whole notion, there's other people that are like, hey, this whole thing's going to crash again late 2019, sometime in 2020. You're not really down with that.
It doesn't matter to us so much because – we're not a buy and hold firm. Most are. So, again, we have stop prices attached to these equities, which saved us last year.
What is that?
A stop price is a predetermined selling price that we discuss with the client.
But in this case, in a defensive thing, it's a floor. So if the stock drops to a certain point, 5% loss or whatever, it sells automatically.
Correct.
Which a lot of people are going to say like, oh, no, you should hold on to it. It'll come mm-hmm. back. But mm-hmm. but you don't operate that way. You operate on a smaller window. Deal with reality as it is day.
Well, we discuss the price. What does the client want to retain as an earning?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an IRA, that's fine. You can sell what you want. You don't get a 1099 in January.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's a jointly held account, like you and Gina, and you start selling stuff and you got a big gain for the sake of the gain, then you're going to get a nice handshake from the IRS in January, perhaps. So you have to have these discussions. And despite having the discussions, you know, it's the client still wondered what happened in, you know, end of the year, you know, and, you know, nobody saw some of that coming. But the fundamentals were so strong. There wasn't a sector that was screaming, hey, we should get out.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 was easy. 2000, 2001 was easy. Last quarter of 15 was easy to figure out. But last year was not easy.
Oh, it's nuts.
You know, we had a great January last year. I mean, 11.1%.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
And then it fell.
I remember.
And it was the deviations were never the same after that.
Yeah, just amazing.
Right.
Yeah, so a stop price is on the bottom end. You go, okay, if we go down to 5%, it's going to sell automatically.
Sure.
It's a defensive position. Then go into cash. Yeah. A lot of stockbrokers don't like that word because they're not making money if you're in cash.
The brokers are going to use mutual funds, and you can't attach a stop to a mutual fund.
Yeah,
you can't
okay.
do it.
You just can't do it.
You can't do it. But any stock, ETF you can, all these different things you can do.
So it's a great tool, especially as a defensive measure.
So if you do it yourself, they can go on their own platform. They can do this themselves. They can walk it through a rep over the phone. If they're with another consultant in an office, then I would mandate that be done.
Yeah.
I would definitely mandate.
Especially when we're in the crazy world that we are in today. Okay, so portfolios, mutual funds, stocks, electronic traded funds. So like a portfolio mix, what should a portfolio be looking like?
Well, we're about 38% cash across the board. We did go to folks and ask them if they want to go back
in. Do people think that's crazy?
Well, I understand people's fears. Last year, really, we had a great 17. I mean, some people
you're in cash,
made 38%,
40-something
percent.
Money.
And then last year, it kind of got people from behind.
Yeah.
It's funny. Those who had a larger equity position in 18 have recovered everything plus already this year.
Yeah, wow.
Because they had more to work with.
Sure.
If you sit in cash, it's great to protect the downside. But when it turns around,
yeah, you miss that.
You don't have any players on the field.
Right.
So it's difficult for people emotionally because everybody's got a story. Everybody's been through something and they say, oh my gosh, I got folks who have been in cash since 2008 still.
Wow. Because they got burned so bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's so really the blend that we're working with on average across the over 160 accounts that we have is about a 25-31% cash position. And then we're heavy in technology and healthcare right now, and finance is coming around. But everything is working well. There's nothing.
The fundamentals all look good.
Yeah, you have a sector, then you have the relative industry, right? So the sector in healthcare, for example, has several industries,
sure.
right?
Underneath it.
Pharmaceuticals, biotechnology, healthcare devices, healthcare services. And within those industries, there's winners in there as well. And so. People want to take a passive approach and they say, hey, I am bullish on healthcare. Just buy the ETF to that. It's very easy to do. A Vanguard is very inexpensive.
Yeah, electronically traded fund. And you're buying a fund.
Exchange traded fund.
Yeah.
And so they're all firing on all. There's not one of them that are trending down. Not one of the 11.
Any concerns in 2019 that you can see at this point on any sectors
or
any part of the economy?
It's more if the feds don't do what they're. They last year, four times they raised the rates.
Yeah, now they're saying two at best.
In December when they raised it, we saw right within 90 minutes the market fell 370 points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that was really crazy. And then the next day they said, well, it's going to be slowing down. Well, then why did you do it anyway? Nobody on Squawk Talk, nobody who are in the weeds in finance made any sense of what they did. Hmm. It didn't make any sense at all. So, what we're seeing now is true to form. If you got the earnings, you're going to do great. You take stamp.com, right? Down 51% today.
Golly.
However, they reported 6% in earnings and 29% in sales increase.
So that sounds like they're doing awesome. But why would their stock tank?
Because the CEO on the same call this morning stated that their forecast is going to be 5.5% down next year. And whammo.
The market jumps on that.
Right. Before 10 a.m.
Yeah, so the fundamentals of any company could look solid. Their numbers look solid.
In about 30 minutes,
but some kind of news,
the stock
some
fell
kind of forecast,
51%.
Yeah, and crash, boom, well, there you go. Which is just crazy. That's insane.
And that stock was up over 100% in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I use stamp.com.
So how does an average person kind of work your way through that kind of madness?
Well, if you have a stop price on it, you're fine.
Yeah.
But, stop prices do not go into effect on after hours. A stock can drop 10% in the middle of the night,
right.
And you take the opening price at market.
Yikes, yeah.
But it's better than riding it out,
yeah.
Right? So, it's just managing the equities, moving where the volume is, getting out one that's telling you, hey, some bad stuff is coming out here. We had it this year. Apple, is driving the tech industry, and Amazon is having issues with the consumer discretionary sector. So they were driving that sector down because the portfolio managers, S&P, for example, reclassified FANG, right? Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google into different sectors of the Standard & Poor's. And that really created some of the ETF providers some havoc because they have to take Amazon out of technology and put it in consumer discretionary. And it's like, wow, okay, really?
Do you think the federal government will end up getting involved with the regulation of Amazon and Facebook, and they'll make
I think the left wants to really, really bad. But we're seeing right now, I read it last night on I think it's Pinecrest, or they're a search engine, and Google has dittoed this, that if you are a individual that don't really likes to vaccinate their children, and
yeah.
it's a growing thing.
Yeah, oh, I know.
That they are taking that information off of the search engine. So you can't research proof behind.
That's getting scary.
Yeah, and so that's
control
worse
of information.
That's worse than government socialism.
Yeah, it is.
Just lobby the big left-wingers.
Yeah,
you know, who run these organizations, and they're going to do the same thing.
Wow.
So yeah, it's going to go that way in naturopathic medicine, right? We see a lot of research behind cancer from a naturopathic standpoint, and you say you want to research an oncologist that's naturopathic, you're not going to find them. You know,
yeah.
Hey, what are the stats
That's economically incentivized censorship,
right?
Is what that is.
Well,
and it's not the free market,
and it's not the government responsible
right.
for it.
Yeah.
You
wow.
know?
How about
so,
that?
So if it starts with Google and these other search engines, and you really want to find out, you know, about the truth of vaccinations, and let you be the source. Facebook
yeah.
is already doing that.
Oh, man.
Because they're going to, you know, now these guys are now determining what they think truth is.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, how about if you don't believe in climate change? Good luck in finding the meteorologists,
right.
and there's a ton of them
yeah,
that
right.
say it's bogus.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to find data on
they
that person.
They'll just start
shutting
that stuff down.
Yeah, they'll just shut it down.
Yeah.
So, and but back to your original question, if you actively manage your portfolio, this sounds very presumptuous. Who cares? Who cares? You know,
because you're going to react to what the world and the market is doing.
Correct.
And that's why you pay. It's like the weather. One day I put on a coat, the next day I take off the coat.
Correct.
The next day I get my snowshoes, and the next day after that, or the week after that,
I get
my
Parker. Well, the Forbes article I'll give you is
what's the basis of the article? We got about a minute left.
A radio show host was asked a question. Can I take 6% out of my portfolio to supplement my income? And within 3 seconds, oh, absolutely, because the market's averaged 10%. Oh, great. So we did the math.
This would be like the godfather of talk radio, financial guy. That
people
guy.
Like that.
Yeah.
And so
the name that shall not be named.
So we created the assumption and did the calculation. There's not one sample where the market's done 10. In a 10-year period.
Yeah, over a long period of time.
Well, money moves in a daily, annualized fashion, not a point-to-point 12 months. That's how these graphs are created,
yeah, yeah.
right? So when you do the math, let's use the example. Guy takes out 10, the market lose 30. You need almost 56% return to get it back.
Wow.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You'll never make it up again. And that was, as the article stated, my wife corrected what I originally said, the radio personality was ill-informed.
So. He's been at it a little too long to be ill-informed. That's the last thing I think I would call Dave Ramsey. All right, this is Steve Noble, Steve Lewis. LACapitalAdvisors.com is Steve's website. LACapitalAdvisors.com. Thanks for coming in, buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a David Bowie fan. Cats out of the bag. There you go. I like me some David Bowie. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Steve Noble Show, and it was good to have our buddy Steve Lewis in. He's really, really smart. He operates at a real high level in his communication about his business, the financial business. And so I'm just kind of try to strap in and hold on. But brilliant guy, loves the Lord, very conscientious, cares about his clients, and has been just a great partner for us, for the Noble family, and some other people we know. And so if you want more information, you want to talk to Steve, his website's pretty easy. LA, like Lewis Associates, LA Capital. Advisors.com. That's his website. LACapitalAdvisors.com. So a few stories that I wanted to share with you. And also, as I do on most Fridays, went to see a movie that I want to tell you about. And this was the new – I'm going to just do that one first. This is the new movie that first kind of foray into the movie-making world that Tim Tebow has done. Most of us know who Tim Tebow is. And the name of the movie is Run the Race. Kind of a conglomeration of different stories by the original writer, the screenplay guy, and it's been a project for I think almost 10 years. So they finally brought it to the screen. Tim Tebow found out about it, showed it to his like a trailer they did originally to his brother, and then they made it. It's when I go see a Christian film, okay, And I'm brutally honest with you, as you know. So I go see a Christian film. I kind of like, all right, I'm going to cut it some slack. They don't have the budget, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of Christian films that I've seen over the years, I'm like, I appreciate the effort. It's a nice story. And we don't hold them to the same standards that we do major motion picture releases. But I think we should. And there's certainly a market for it. We learned this with our friends, John and Andy Irwin, and I Can Only Imagine, which is a beautifully shot movie. They spent money, and now, because of the success of that, did like $80 million at the box office. They've got all kinds of stuff going on, and I think you're going to see their budgets increasing, and they're going to be able to compete with the quality and the type of movie that they put out there. So this one, I go into it, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm trying to love on the Lord and love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I certainly appreciate Tim Tebow. And it was a very good movie. You could take a kid of any age. If you've had a tough background with family, in this case, in the story, the mom had died of cancer previously. The dad kind of left the boys and kind of became a drunk. They're all in the same small town. The boys are athletes. The younger brother had gotten hurt playing football the year before, a head injury. So the older brother, all the pressure's on him to get a scholarship and get him out of there, he and his little brother. Just a beautiful brother relationship and the troubled relationship with the dad and some injuries. And one brother's walking with the Lord, one brother isn't. Distance because the older brother, because he lost his mom, his dad's a drunk, and where's God and all of that? So really honest, and I thought it was really well done. The main actor in it, Tanner Stein, played Zach Truett, and then the other brother, the younger brother, Dave Truett. And I saw him in Indivisible, which was a pretty good Christian film, and he was phenomenal. The whole time I'm like, wow, this kid's a really good actor. He plays the older brother. The coach, the head coach, football coach, Mykelti Williamson, you would recognize him. Mario Van Peebles, you would recognize him. He's been around for a while. Frances Fisher is in it. You would recognize her as well. Eddie George is in it, famous football player, now retired in it. Really solid story, not heavily evangelistic, but a good family movie, a good story, a good wrap-up ending. I think Tim Tebow can be happy with his first foray into the movie world. And it's a movie I think it's worth supporting for us as Christians. And again, it's a nice movie to be able to – you don't have to worry about anything, right? You know what I mean. You don't have to worry about any content. So really wholesome, really inspiring, good solid movie. I enjoyed it and would recommend it to you. Okay, so get the niceties out of the way. Let's talk about some other things that are kind of nutty. Is it Smollett? Smollett? I haven't figured that out yet. So what a nightmare story. It's to me, at this point, it's a sad story. In many ways, it's enraging on the political side where everybody – it's all confirmation bias all the time. So whereas, of course, everybody on the left media, all the people running for president on the Dem side, Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, they all jump to his defense, believe him right from the get-go because his name isn't Brett Kavanaugh. And he didn't go to Covington High School. He's not a white Catholic guy. So he's on our team, right, for the liberal media. He's on your team. And so, of course, you're going to believe his story. Now the whole thing is bent. The whole thing is made up, fabricated. Charles Barkley, I put this on Facebook, did this thing on a sports show. I think Shaq was there, Shaquille O'Neal, and Barkley's like, you know, if you're going to commit a crime, don't pay with checks. He was just totally laying into it, totally non-PC. It was really funny. But all the people on the liberal left, he's a victim. They yelled MAGA. It's anti-black. It's anti-homosexual. It's pro-Trump. Of course, it fits their narrative. So who cares what the facts are? We just assume that he's telling the truth because the story he says, the story he puts out there helps your cause. That's called confirmation bias. And everybody does it. The left does it way more. And now they're all exposed. Nobody's backing away from this. Even he at this point is claiming, he told the police he has an untreated drug problem. His lawyers are still, this is a guy with an impeccable character. They have the checks, the two brothers from Nigeria. They talk to them. And this guy's a criminal. I hope they throw the book at him. The Chicago police are ticked off, and they should be. And I hope they not only charge him with the crime, which right now is kind of a low level, disorderly conduct for filing a false police report, class 4 felony, potentially carries a 1 to 3 year prison sentence. I hope they go after him for all the money they spent in this investigation. I think they need to make an example of him. Because in this nation right now, it's all about feelings. It's not about facts. And so the liberal media, Brett Kavanaugh, he's obviously a psychopathic, hedonistic, chain gang bang rapist, right? Of course he is, because the guy might actually vote one day to overturn Roe versus Wade. That has yet to be seen. But that's the point. He fits the narrative. He fits the story, so they go with it. Forget what the facts are. And now all that stuff's been thrown out. It's all bogus. Then you have the Covington Catholic school boys. Perfect. Some of them are wearing MAGA hats. They're white. They're Catholic. They're Christian at the pro-life march. And then they're abusing an American Indian. Oh, what a gift. What a gift from quote-unquote God. So they jump all over that. And they're wrong there. They're wrong about Kavanaugh. They're wrong about Covington. And then here we go with Smollett, who's my flesh goes, lying, cheating, scumbag, dirtbag. My spirit side, my soul side, my gospel side goes, man, what's going on with a guy that he would do this? And now it's now one of the reasons is because he wasn't happy with his salary on the Empire, the big series Empire. Oh, yeah, because, you know, 100 grand an episode isn't enough. Really sad. My heart kind of breaks on that part of it. But the political side, the media side, no, we're just going to keep hammering that because it's a perfect example of where the real problem is in the country. It's not on the right. It's on the left. And now they're just open endorsement of abortion right to the point of delivery. What do they call it? Democratic socialism. That's funny. Especially when you consider a story like this. Lifestyles of the rich and socialist. Bernie Sanders has three houses and makes millions. Which actually makes him typical socialist at the top of the heap. And then he uses everybody else. Senator Bernie Sanders entered the 2020 presidential race this week. Promised this from Fox News. To transform America with a left-wing vision. Self-described democratic socialist. But he has a high-end income, multiple houses, and a fondness for air travel. And that would be private air travel. We're not talking about, you know, Southwest Airlines. Sanders raised eyebrows over his spending and personal wealth. Notably, he owns three houses. In 2016, he bought a little $500,000 four-bedroom lakefront home in his home state. This in addition to a row house in Washington, D.C., which is not cheap, as well as a house in Burlington, Vermont. Do as I say, not as I do. Come on. The multiple homes, though, bring into question past statements, like when he was asked in 2017, how many yachts do billionaires need anyway? How many cars do they need? Give us a break. You can't have it all. Ocasio-Cortez, of course, has pinned the number at $10 million. Who needs to make more than $10 million a year? I mean, that's just immoral. So if you're really super successful, we'll punish you because that's just covetousness and ignorance and a total lack of understanding of anything economic. She's just massively ignorant, I guess because she's somewhat attractive and young and appealing to people that don't know any better. But it's just Bernie Sanders living large. Let's see. Oh, yeah. In October, last year, 2 years ago, he spent nearly $300,000 on air travel. You know, because like the regular people do. $300,000 on air travel so he could speak to audiences in 9 battleground states. But he did buy some carbon offsets, you know. Oh, my goodness. All right. Then there's this. Snarky Steve. Okay. That's just... Go with me. It's just sometimes I just have to be snarky and somewhat humorous because it drives me nuts. Okay, here we go. Like the other day we did true or false story. Tell me if you think this is true or false. True or false? Here's the headline. Couple sues Planned Parenthood for child support after failed abortion. The couple, which already had 2 children, oh my goodness, what a burden, didn't want another one. An Idaho couple has slapped abortion conglomerate Planned Parenthood with a child support lawsuit for failing to kill their baby. The couple claims that Planned Parenthood deceived them and now wants the agency to pay for the cost of raising an additional unplanned child. Oh, can I get in on that lawsuit? My goodness. Bianca Coons, who was 6 weeks pregnant with her son, traveled 700 miles with her partner, Cristobal Ruiz, I don't know if that's a man or a woman, to a Planned Parenthood in Albuquerque, New Mexico in February of 2016 to avoid the mandatory waiting period. The couple, which already had 2 children, didn't want another one. Why'd you get pregnant then? Planned Parenthood gave Coons a drug-induced abortion via the abortion pill, but the child survived. I hate it when that happens. Since Coons could not afford follow-up procedures, she gave birth to the child. Oh, what a shame. This story, by the way, absolutely true. So, you looking for something to do this weekend? Want something to do? Let me suggest you get on your knees and pray for our nation. Because, boy, do we need it. We'll be back next week, God willing. Lots to talk about. We're going to ramp up our talk about the Unplanned movie opening nationwide March 29th, which goes right at the throat of Planned Parenthood, which is a beautiful thing, and fights for the cause of life, which is a godly thing. This is Steve Noble, God willing. I'll talk to you again soon.